Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lit up Luke Cutford.
Yeah, man.
This week, we're talking about smoky science and curative cannabis, but first, I've got a question for you.
Go ahead. Sorry, I'm too baked to listen, but go ahead anyway.
I love that you realized you could make a joke halfway through and didn't start again.
I'm just so high, man. It takes a while. I'm a little bit behind.
Been the issue for every episode since we went to Amsterdam, right? You've just never come down.
No, not the way I want to.
So, have you had marijuana and has it helped your mental health?
Yes and no. Not yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, the first question, second question, no.
What has helped your mental health, though?
Very little.
And if we were to quantify the health of your mental state, how would we do that?
Sleepy as hell.
Or very little.
Very little?
Very little mental health. I'll say this, though, Luke. I'll say this. Before we actually get into the topic of today, I want to talk about mental health. And specifically, I want to talk, I guess, somewhat semantically about how people use the phrase mental health.
Mm-hmm. To mean like having a bath.
No, they mean mental health as in like, they say mental health meaning mental illness, you know? Right. Like, oh, do you have mental health?
Oh, yeah,
have mental health because I'm mentally healthy.
Yes.
Do you have physical health, Luke?
I feel like that happened in like a major political speech recently. I can't remember where it was, but it was something along the lines of like, this government stands firmly against mental health.
Or
like,
no!
No.
I mean, yes, actually, technically, if you think about it. But no, you should be in support of it.
We're fighting against mental health.
That's it, against mental health. If people say like, oh, are you dealing with mental health?
Yes.
Yes.
I wish.
Everyone, like, mental health is just the healthiness of your mental state. Like, are you dealing with physical health?
Yes, I deal in physical health, yes.
But that's the thing, right? People just don't seem to be able to understand that, like, mental health and physical health should be used in the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, grammatically speaking and, like, in sentences. Like, they are the same. They're the same exact thing. They're the same kind of word.
What does that say about their mental health, Corey?
It says less about their mental health and more about their, I suppose, mental cognition.
Yeah. Okay. Language.
Very
ability.
Low. Very little. Oh, dear. But the headline that drew me into this, Luke, was huge study finds no evidence cannabis helps anxiety, depression, or PTSD. And I didn't just see the headline. I saw a funny tweet from ContraPoints. And that was how I saw this. And I was like, oh, weed doesn't help anxiety, depression, or PTSD. Let's have a look into this because a lot of potheads are going to be upset.
Are you telling me that sometimes the headline doesn't accurately represent the scientific study, Corey?
I'm telling you nothing, Luke. I'm telling you the headline I read may not accurately represent what's even in the body of the... No.
Is it actually a study of like one person and then they printed it really huge?
Yeah, it's just the biggest study ever printed.
Or
yeah.
They like used AI and they wrote like 1,000 pages.
Massive font. No, so this was a Science Daily article and I've gone and found the original study. Well, we could get into... Yeah, well, I'll say this. So the study is called The Efficacy and Safety of Cannabinoids for the Treatment of Mental Disorders and Substance Use Disorders, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. So it's a review and meta-analysis. They've not done any actual
work.
Studying. They've done more work than we do. They actually at least use maths. I just kind of... I copy and paste, and then I regurgitate.
But it's not new science. It's just looking at old science, but real hard and lots of it.
Yeah. Looking at science from God. 1980
from God. So nice that he's involved,
yeah,
finally.
God science, yeah.
It was against science for hundreds of years, but he's finally cottoned on.
The thing is, God was always somewhat pro-science. It just depends on the kind of science that you're doing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's got to be hand in hand with God, by which I mean he's got to be anti-weed. God hates weed. Do whatever else it is that you want. You know those fig leaves that they were wearing?
Yeah.
They weren't fig leaves, Luke.
Okay.
They were marijuana leaves.
Oh, that really changes the context of last week where I was going to be Adam.
You mean next week?
Next week. Yes. I don't know schedules.
This is our 300th episode, Luke.
Happy birthday.
Nope. That was some weeks ago.
Yes, indeed.
This is just a round number.
I'm sorry. I'm so high. Time is an illusion.
I feel there's going to be a running theme for you this episode.
And indeed my life.
No, so from 1980 to 2025, they looked at studies from January 1st, 1980 to May 13th, 2025.
Sorry.
So the study was published April 2026.
When they finished up, they wrote it pretty quick. But they were looking for a real long time.
They were looking from those dates.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
I want to give it to you, right? I want to give this one to you, but it doesn't really scan.
Okay.
Good effort, though.
Maybe more study is needed. Maybe if you look at it for 45 years, it'll land.
Don't know if I'm going to live 45 more years, Luke. I'm being perfectly honest with you. That seems like a slog.
Really? 45 years? You're not that old. You're what, 40? I'm kidding.
Oh, are you? Thank you. I would never have known had you not said.
I know you're younger than me.
Yeah, and you're like, what, 50?
Yeah.
No, so published April 2026 in The Lancet. Lots of authors, lots and lots and lots. Jack Wilson, PhD.
Jacqueline Wilson.
Nope, just Jack.
From Tracy Beaker to... She's transitioned. Congratulations.
Did Jacqueline Wilson do Tracy Beaker? Is that where Tracy
Beaker
comes
from? She wrote it. I hope she didn't do her. Sorry. She's not real, Corey.
You take one booster and suddenly you're in silly boy mode. So, Wilson J. et al.
Okay, so it could be Jacqueline Wilson.
The two greatest words. No, it's Jack Wilson. I said this. J-A-C-K.
Jacqueline Wilson and her friend Al.
Look, for once we're talking about a man, okay? A man's work.
Finally, a man in science.
I know, right? There's just not enough boys. It's a bit of a girls' club.
Yeah.
There's Marie Curie.
And the other one?
Sally Ride. She went to space.
That's science.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, a woman?
Maybe now.
I don't know,
at this rate, with the liberal agenda. Sorry.
Yes, the liberal woke agenda. All of it culminating in transitioning Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's the master plan, Corey.
More like Shield.
Shield deGrasse Tyson.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to do a little bit there where I'm a big old righty. Let's go.
Nothing's better than a bit that is... immediately clarified.
Just really, I was like, oh, that was fun, but only if you know I'm joking, double joking.
Yeah, I suppose the smile on your face, the entire wealth of history on the podcast isn't enough.
Listen, Corey, a 15-year career on the internet has made me very anxious.
I think there's something else in there in the mix too. I don't know.
My mental health. All of that mental health I have.
That mental health you're dealing with.
There's yes.
So much mental. Do you know what? Mental health is one of the biggest problems that we're dealing with nowadays. Mm-hmm.
And I have mental health for breakfast, Corey.
Oh my bloody God, I'm going to choke you out and then you're going to be dealing with physical health.
Okay, well, finally a distraction from all this mental health.
Christ. So the aim of the study.
Oh, goodness me.
The aim of the study was mental disorders and substance use disorders. Are
what's
among
his accent going to?
It's going to my accent. It was a transitional accent. It's because of all the wee. I'm getting a contact high from you. are among the leading reasons for which the medical use of cannabinoids has been approved, but their efficacy and safety in treating these conditions is yet to be established. So they conducted a systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized control trials testing the efficacy and safety of cannabinoids as the primary treatment for mental disorders or substance use disorders. So, The aim of the study is essentially... look at a bunch of papers that have looked at how cannabis, or cannabinoids really, are used to treat mental health disorders.
And check if they're any good.
Do they work? We don't know. We'll find out. That's what the aim was.
Mm-hmm.
And before we do that, we need to really quickly go over how weed works. How does weed work? What is
weed? Weed contains, well, lots of stuff. Bunch of weed, but also THC and CBD.
Let's not get in the weeds with this.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not in the weeds. I'm in the THC and the CBD. There's only two little things to remember. Two chemicals. One makes you loopy and the other one makes you chill. And together, they hopefully balance each other out and they just get a nice mellow high. But often, that doesn't happen because weed is bad on the street sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Street weed can make you loopy is my point. I'm not saying weed is bad, but like the weed you get on the street is often...
very strong.
Yeah.
Well, there's more than just the two chemicals. There's different cannabinoids. So cannabinoids are these chemicals that you find in weed that activate they activate cannabinoid receptors in your brain. And you're like, well, why do I have cannabinoid receptors in my brain?
Because chill out, man. Well, stop asking questions.
Basically, yeah.
Just relax, man.
Because there's a neurotransmitter called anandamide, and that is a cannabinoid. A human-made cannabinoid, which is made in your body, and cannabinoid receptors can also bind to it. I want to be clear, though.
Yeah.
That's not to say... like, you got to remember, we name these things.
Yeah.
Right? So it's called a cannabinoid receptor.
Yeah.
Because your cannabinoids will, you know...
It's real stoner logic to be like, why would I have cannabinoid receptors if I'm not meant to smoke cannabis?
Yeah,
like,
it's just a chemical that activates it. We just called it that.
That's like, yeah, it's like saying, why do I have a tongue if I shouldn't eat unlimited sugar? Like, what? Shut up.
That's not, yeah, that's not how that works. Like, if they come up with a product that's like tongue stuffers, it doesn't mean you need to stuff your tongue with it.
Why would I have a tongue if not for the tongue stuffers that are on sale?
Well, because they called it that. They called it that because they found out about the, you know.
No, I think what came first, the tongue stuffers or the tongue? The tongue stuffers.
What came first? The partner. Because when it's with my tongue, Luke,
I'm uncomfortable. What does this?
I've never heard that once in my life. I make people very comfortable with my tongue. Okay. I lay out a lovely spread.
Well, right now you're making me uncomfortable with your tongue by talking.
My teeth are involved too.
Well, they can all apologize then. What is this anandamide? What does it do? Like, is it like what I'm asking is like, is it like a chill out thing? Is it like weed but like endogenous in your body, like? It makes you chill, makes you cool, man.
Probably, man. I think it makes you munchies too. I don't know. I didn't really look into it. Look, I didn't really look into it because I didn't want to get into the weeds.
Okay, my apologies.
I just wanted people to know the word anandamide and that it's a cannabinoid. And the high concentrations of cannabinoid receptors, do you know where they are?
In your brain.
Yeah, hippocampus, the basal ganglia, cerebellum, which causes all of the things that go on, right? So if you think about what happens to you when you smoke weed, you can get confused, your time starts to be weird, and your movements are maybe a bit more sluggish and stuff. That's because all of those parts of your brain I just mentioned control those things. Hippocampus is in the temporal lobe, coordination is the cerebellum, and the basal ganglia direct unconscious muscle movements. So that's why your coordination is all messed up when you're on weed.
I wonder if there's ever been a person called Sarah Bellum.
Almost definitely.
That's great. I hope she works in neuroscience.
I knew a girl called Sarah, S-E-R-A. So there could be a girl called Sarah Bellum.
She needs to marry Michael Sarah.
So it's Sarah Sarah.
Yeah.
Just like Taylor Lautner and Taylor Lautner.
It's yes, I pay attention to things.
So Taylor Lautner,
uh-huh.
The Jacob from Twilight.
Married himself.
Married a woman called Taylor
Lautner.
When you get married,
you
share a name.
You must take the last name of your husband because that's God's will.
Yeah, you must take the last name of your husband through a battle to the death. Whoever comes out on top takes the other's last name.
Fantastic.
As a trophy.
Yes, yeah. They claim it. Lift it up high.
Ah! I love that idea though, right? Can you imagine? You can imagine a society wherein it used to be a fight to the death to take, and then you take someone's name as a trophy, but then it kind of gets watered down to a wedding thing where, like, you know, you fight to the death, but like you don't actually fight. It's just whoever like kind of bests someone in kind of like, you know, friendly combat.
Chess.
No, physical still.
Okay, okay.
Just not to the death.
Yeah.
I suppose you can do chess not to the death, but
like in those big sumo suits, man. Like smacking each other with sumo suits, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun. I was thinking just fight and then don't kill each other at the end. Do you know what I mean?
But it's so hard, you know?
You get hard when you fight to the death?
Rock hard.
Is that your thing?
That's how I hit the person off the podium. I'm not using the big whacker.
Hey, they said no weapons allowed. Who's got the bow staff?
This is all me, baby.
So yeah, that's broadly how weed works. THC is the main one in it, and CBD is the one that kind of does the painkilling and all that sort of stuff, and the makes you less anxious, I think, as well.
Yeah, THC is the headline guy, but CBD is like the real like support guy who like really it would be nothing if, you know, when you have like a double act and like there's one that's the main character, but the that person would not really be anyone if there wasn't the other one.
Yeah, name some examples.
Mighty Boosh.
Yeah, okay, that is actually genuinely the best example you could have given.
No, I've got an even better one. Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, no, that is so true. We're really just talking about double acts where there is a loud person and then a foundational person.
Yeah.
People don't realize is the actual brains of the operation.
Yeah, it's kind of like the straight guy, isn't it? Like, it's the person that kind of, the heightened thing plays off of the other person.
I don't pay attention to heterosexuals, Luke, I'm afraid.
So who were you looking at when you watched The Mighty Boosh?
There's no one heterosexual in The Mighty Boosh, Luke. Have you seen the show?
Okay.
That's not a heterosexual show. I don't know what it is, but it ain't straight.
Yeah, it's not really any sexuality. It's just sort of, it's like a bad trip. Like a loopy high. Wee, wee, wee. Back to the topic. Let's go. Woo. I'm trying.
Generally, bringing it back to the topic is my job. Your job is to do the exact opposite.
You're welcome. Now you can make inane comments.
We really should turn this around. What if I research the episodes and I give you the notes and then you do it back to
that
me?
Sounds really fun. Yeah. And you have to try and react to them off of memory.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to remember any of this from the second I've said it. Honestly, it's in and out. So the methods of this study. Do you want to know what the methods were?
Get a bunch of people high?
No, because they didn't do it. They didn't. It was a
review. Reading. The reading. Reading was the method.
Yeah. So they had to find a bunch of articles from January 1st, 1980 to May 13th, 2025 is when those articles were, those like studies were published. And they searched a bunch of different places. I'm not going to list it off because it doesn't matter to you. But they found 5,774 titles, ooh, of which 343 were duplicates. And so the remaining 5,431 were screened by title and abstract. And of those, 5,292 were deemed irrelevant and 139 were assessed in full to determine eligibility. So they had to be randomized control trials. Okay. Is what they were looking at. And they had to be evaluating the efficacy of cannabinoids in reducing or treating mental disorders and substance use disorders as the primary indication.
They started with 5,000 articles and they ended up with 130 something?
Yeah.
That's, wow. I mean, I wonder if it's been 45 years.
The thing is, did you say 25?
45.
It is 45. And it didn't take them 45 years. A funny joke, but people are very, very stupid.
Okay.
So
the articles were over 45 years. The reading did not take 45 years.
I mean, it might have bloody taken 45 years. You never know.
They were really high at the time, to be fair.
Dude, I don't know. They might have just made this stuff up, right? It's so stoned. No, but for real, they got all those studies together and they narrowed them down to 139. And then at full text screening, 81 were deemed irrelevant, resulting in 58 eligible titles.
This is a really harsh screening system.
Exactly. It's like just over 1% of the ones that they found. Granted, 343 of the ones that they found initially were duplicates. So it's about 1% is what they ended up using. Oh yeah, after a further four titles were identified through reference list, resulting in a total of 62 titles, contributing data from 54 unique trials. So that sounds like some trials were used to write different studies, right? Mm-hmm. We also identified 14 ongoing trials through clinical trials registries that could not be included in the current synthesis.
Or why?
Because they were ongoing.
Ah, I need to learn to listen.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Again, you have two jobs on this. Listen and respond.
I'm sort of listening out for keywords sometimes. I'm just like, what's going on? There's so many words. Wow, I'm so high.
Maybe stop with the weed, I think.
That's
the main issue.
Yeah. We'll start there.
And we'll stop here. Thank you for joining us. That's all. No. The 54 trials that were identified for inclusion, that a total of 2,477 participants, 1,713 of which were males, that's 69%. The other 31%, 764, were females, the median age being 33.3 years, and ethnicity data, Luke, was not available.
Ah, how very woke of them. They didn't see race.
Is it woke, though?
It's something.
I think it's very important to know which race, because you never know. I could be allowed to smoke, and you might not be able to.
Ah, true. It helps your insert illness here.
Based on my race?
If the study found that it helped you and it didn't help me, then maybe.
I'm just saying that, I think some races shouldn't be allowed. Mine was a purely racial argument.
Oh, they just shouldn't be allowed it, even if it helps.
No, scientifically speaking, you're not allowed it as a white man. I don't know why. There's bound to be something. I can find a study that says that you can't have it, I'm sure.
I accept.
You accept? Yes, I accept. I will not have any weed. As a non-weed smoker, yeah. I'll take that upon myself to stop.
I'm a real good guy.
Hey, I'm like, God, I'm about 28 years sober from heroin, Luke.
Yeah, I'm more than that. I'm 32 years sober from heroin.
Dude, I can't wait to get to where you are, man, honestly. It's been a tough 28 years.
I'll be 36 years ahead then. You're never going to catch me.
36 years ahead?
Sorry, 36 year streak.
How old are you again? You're what, 64?
I'm 85. But wow. I had a real blip in the 90s.
Carry on.
Yes, I just had to calculate my own birthday.
Uh-huh, a blip in the 90s. What was that? What was the blip?
Real heroin binge.
Oh. I wouldn't call a binge of heroin a blip. That seems a bit...
But then somebody came along who just read 5,000 articles, and they gave me some weed and it fixed everything.
I wouldn't say everything. I mean, whatever's going on now, it's very like Matt Smith, Doctor Who, which isn't a problem, but you know.
It's no David Tennant. Is that your point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously the David Tennant. That's not even a question, Luke. No, so the ethnicity data is not available, unfortunately. We can't break it down by race.
Ah, boo.
I know. It's our favorite thing to do. So the primary outcomes were remission of disorder or reduction in disorder symptoms, and safety was assessed via synthesis of all cause and serious adverse events, which was used to calculate the number needed to treat to harm. Don't need to worry about whatever that is. They just wanted to also look at like how basically dangerous it seemed to be as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's basically how all treatments are measured, isn't it? Like, you're not just measuring like, does it have bad effects versus does it cure the thing? You're also measuring like, does it cure the thing relative to how bad it would be if we didn't cure it? Even if there are bad effects, if the alternative of not taking it is even worse, we still give it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you had this thing that would kill you outright, or it would like, you know, cause you to be in extreme pain and like slowly die, you know, sort of thing, let's say. And we've got this medication that could make things way worse, but in 99% of cases, it completely fixes it.
You're using that bet. Yeah. You're taking that bet.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, either way, you're going down, right? But
that's nice.
Not just about how quick, Luke, and how painless. No, so the we've done the safety thing. Two independent reviewers also then screened all the studies and performed data extraction. 24 of the trials had a high risk of bias, they said. They sort of list them out based on bias.
Bunch of stoners doing all this research.
Right?
Or weed dealers.
I don't know if dealers are taking time out of their busy, busy, busy days of not responding to texts for hours on end and showing up about 3 hours later than they said they would. Mm. I don't know if plugs are... Maybe that's why they're so late, actually.
They're doing science. Yeah. Sorry, I was really busy doing some science.
Dude, you know what? I know I said I'd be here at 6, and I know it is 9 p.m. the following day, but... We hit a real breakthrough, you know?
Yeah, the 1800s of science had like rich white dudes doing all the science, and now it's just stoners doing all the science. They sell the drugs to fund the science. That's what they're doing, right?
One would hope so, right?
And the government wants to make that illegal.
Government?
Because they don't like science, Corey. They want to silence science.
I mean, to be fair though, you're not actually too... you're pulling in a lot of disparate things, but you're actually ending... Your working is wrong, but your answer is right.
Yeah, and in all fairness, if it turns out that like weed, for example, does help with a variety of illnesses, which it is supposed to. The people who did that discovery, they are the people doing the illegal, the weed, right? It's not, they've been saying it, right? It's like when scientists found the clitoris, like, the women had been saying about the clitoris for ages, and the scientists were like, we've found it! And the stoners would be like, hey, this makes me more, less anxious, and it, like, helps my multiple sclerosis. And the scientists are like, we've just discovered that it helps multiple sclerosis! Huzzah!
Ah, yes, multiple sclerosis, the most well-known of the mental disorders. It's all in your head!
Yes. I think it does help multiple sclerosis, though. I think it's one of the things it's one of the things it's prescribed for, I think.
Yeah, so this is the thing. They're not sort of talking about it's used to treat, like, say, for pain and whatnot, but this is specifically based on mental issues. Uh-huh. So, like, ADHD... Autism is one, PTSD, goodness me, what else? Depression, anxiety, OCD, you know, just all of the sort of acronyms and initialisms that people that watch this like to use.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, who are on it.
Yeah, we're definitely on it right now. We're stonked. So yeah, they said that some of them had a high risk of bias. I don't know what to take from this study, right? This is the difficult thing where, like, I don't want to say, oh, it's wrong, but they did get rid of a lot of studies. They're saying that a lot of them are biased, and it seems to kind of flat out say that sort of weed does not help with X, Y, and Z, which experimentally may be the case, but anecdotally does not seem to be the case. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, like, it's I find it hard to believe that there's no benefit, marijuana has no benefit therapeutically across all of these things, especially based on how few studies, like, I mean, if you think about it, right, the number of disorders and whatnot that they're looking at, and the fact there's only 60 odd studies.
Yeah.
Let's say there's even 10 sort of, just like 10 to 12 disorders, right, that they're looking at. That would only leave you like 5 or 6 studies per thing. And I don't know if 5 or 6 studies is enough to really say this has no benefit, especially when you're getting rid of so many others, you know?
Does it say about the bias? Is it, because I actually like very naively assumed the bias was like they found it to be good and helpful. And they're like, these guys are biased. And that's why I joked that they're stoners. It's anti-weed bias. Or is it a mix of things, do you think?
I mean, it probably goes into more depth somewhere in the paper, but I've not got that in front of me right now, so yeah. I don't remember. But it just a high risk of bias, meaning as in there's a high risk of the results being biased.
Uh-huh.
So that's, it could be biased either way.
Yeah, okay.
And so it also then goes on to say the certainty of evidence for most outcomes was low, and our meta-analysis revealed that a combination of cannabidiol and delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol could reduce cannabis withdrawal symptoms and weekly grams of cannabis use among those with cannabis use disorder. So one of the things is that it says that weed can be good for helping people who have a weed addiction.
Yes.
Which sounds dumb.
Yeah.
However, you got to remember, not all weed is built the same. So it's like an oral formulation of the THC can reduce the sort of use of non-medical marijuana.
Yeah, or even like I was saying before, like a weed that actually has a good like balance between THC and CBD. Like there was a quote, I think, from someone in the Beatles. This is where I originally heard about this, is that says something like, the weed you get today is nothing like the weed they were smoking when they were writing the Beatles music. And I think the point is that one thing we do know is that the weed that you would buy, like, well, I want to say commercially, but not commercially, like on the street from a drug dealer or whatever, is
locally,
yeah.
Supporting a local business.
Yes, indeed. Supporting local science, grassroots science.
Definitely grassroots.
Weed root science.
Well, grass buds, I think.
Is generally being pushed towards the more heavy THC, low CBD end, which is much more likely to make you anxious, much more likely to make you have psychosis. Like the higher CBD stuff is much more likely to just make you feel nice in your body and chilled out. And a balance between those two things is important. Like low THC is not automatically good. Like you probably won't do anything, right?
It just make you feel more relaxed and maybe help with the pain and stuff. But yeah, no.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so what I'm getting at there is that you could replace, if you replace that weed, like high THC weed that's making you anxious or like psychotic, with something medically tuned, scientifically tuned to be like healthier, have evidence that it's not going to make you anxious, then that, even though you're replacing weed with weed, could literally be transformative.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also bearing in mind that there's not just one sort of cannabinoid, I guess. So there's a lot of complex compounds in weed, and if you sort of eat it, in order to make it edible, you need to change the chemical by heating, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why you would have to say heat it and then eat it. You wouldn't be able to just eat it raw and get any effects from it. But in heating it, I think it changes it to a slightly different chemical the chemical structure is slightly different than if you were to, say, smoke it.
Mm.
And so edible highs are different to smoking highs.
Right.
And that comes into it as well, right? And obviously, you can look at it as well, like methadone. Methadone?
That they give you if you're addicted to
heroin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like weaning someone off of something with something like that. But then it's, yeah, again, taking an edible is very, very different than like, you know, smoking constantly.
And you've got predictable dosing as well. Like
that's another part as well. Because
you never know what, week to week, your dealer could just have totally different weed.
Absolutely. And you can never trust that what they're putting in a bag is the same as what they're saying it is, which is why, again, like, sort of legalization and then having it regulated just is the way forward, right? Because I mean, I've been to the US, I've gone into a shop and it's like going into a sweet shop and they're like, what kind of thing do you want? And I'm like, oh, well, this is what I want. And then I get exactly what I want.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's honestly, it's fine. I find it, when I'm in a place where it's legal, I find it much better than going out and drinking, right? Because like, it's just, it can be fun. It can be chill. And all you need to do is just pop a gummy and have a fun time.
I haven't been to one of those shops in America because they wouldn't let me in because I forgot my passport, so I had to stay outside while my friends went in.
That's really funny. That's so you.
It was so lame. I was just like, and it was like so like high tech and like it's like an Apple store for weed, and I was just there on the outside. I was like, I got a picture of my passport. They're like, no.
Was it like a MedMen? Was it a MedMen?
It was in Los Angeles. I have no idea what it was.
Then it could be literally anything. God knows. Yeah.
But it felt so lame. they'll be just like outside, like, they won't let me in.
It's such a shame. And like, yeah, okay, look, yes, the cost goes way up, but it, you know, you could put that money towards taxes, so it could, you know, I don't know. Just think about all of the politicians' friends whose companies are going to get more rich from that.
Yay! I think Jacob Rees-Mogg owns some weed plantations in the UK.
Jacob Rees-Mogg, the man who is, what, I guess the closest thing we have to a disgusting demon on Earth?
No, that's Nigel Farage.
I thought Nigel Farage was a troll come to life.
Oh, sorry. Yes, my mistake. I think I may be libeling here or wherever it is, slandering. I can't remember. But I know that there's a politician who has a significant investment in medical marijuana farms, despite being incredibly publicly against weed, including, I think, legalization of weed. Which is hilarious.
It says from the BBC in 2018, Victoria Atkins accused of hypocrisy over, on a grand scale, over her husband's involvement in a legal cannabis farm.
Ah, I don't know who that is, but I was wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the thing is, as well,
to formally apologize to Jacob Rees-Mogg.
No, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. You don't have to apologize to that man ever. You know what I mean? What you could do is, God, think of any terrible thing. Non-violent. This is not a cult of. This is not stochastic terror. You think of any non-violent, awful thing one could conceptually do, and then you could think about doing that to Jacob Rees-Mogg and make yourself feel somewhat better, so long as you never take it into the real world or act upon it in any way.
Okay, stealing from my own baby.
I mean, he's probably done that, hasn't he? Hey, well, got him.
I take things off her all the time, and she's not happy about it.
I don't think you're stealing because you. She own
thinks
everything.
She thinks I'm stealing, and she doesn't agree that I own it.
Every single thing. Well, yeah, but that's like taking bloody land back from a landlord. They don't own it. That's just land. Shut up. You're stupid. How can you own it's just space?
It's
you
just can't. Floor, man.
You only own it because we're letting you think that you do. We could just all take it from you if we want.
You've really been hitting that joint, haven't you, Corey?
Look, the only thing I want to hit is Jacob. Anyway, so.
And his Technicolor dream coat. And we won't see you in court, Jacob.
Joseph.
Oh, yeah. Okay, whoopsie.
That's just a non sequitur at that point.
Well, I got us out of court.
Insanity plea, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Luke is not of far. Is not of sound mind.
Your Honor, I was baked.
Your Honor, he has mental health.
Ah, case dismissed. For mental health.
It's mental health, innit, love? It's mental health. The cannabis withdrawal symptoms, they went down, blah, 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 right? And there was a reduction in tic severity among those with tic or Tourette syndrome.
Wow.
Compared to placebo. Insomnia, any cannabinoid type, led to an increase in sleep time as recorded by an electronic device, and sleep diary among those with insomnia. This one's good. A reduction in autistic traits among those with autism spectrum disorder.
What does that mean?
This is the thing that bugs me. So this piqued my interest and made me consider, because
could be the bias, that one coming in there.
I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, well, this is obviously dumb because like weed is awesome and everyone should be able to have weed and blah, all drugs should be legalized and blah, 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 blah. So any science that says it's wrong and then that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am just cautious because the headline I saw was a very bold claim. And obviously the headline is not from the article itself. Right? The headline reads, huge study finds no evidence cannabis helps anxiety, depression, or PTSD. Now, we know what that's, like, you know what that kind of intends, what that implies, right? It implies that there's no evidence that it helps, and people are to read that, and they think, oh, it doesn't help. Like, this study has proved that it doesn't help anything.
Yeah, because that's what it says.
But finding no evidence doesn't mean that you could, because
it hasn't disproven, you know, it. It's just found no evidence.
I'll spoil this a little bit. From what I recall, from what I read, and what's in my notes, the reason they didn't find any evidence that it helped depression isn't because the studies that they found there was no evidence. I think there weren't enough studies for them to make a conclusive statement on depression.
I could literally say that about anything. Then I could say huge study. I could study a bunch of things about rabbits and then be like, huge study finds that dragons don't exist. Because I didn't look for any evidence.
Exactly.
There's I was looking at rabbits the whole time.
There's not enough evidence that, you know, dragons are the biggest sort of predator of rabbits, because we couldn't find enough studies on dragons, you know, predating upon rabbits. Well, actually, hold on, wait. Because dragons don't predate on rabbits, because they don't exist.
Yeah, which is why we didn't find any evidence of it.
Exactly, right? But there could be a situation wherein you just didn't look at any... like, it's like saying, oh, rabbits don't eat... grass, because you didn't. Do rabbits eat grass? Why did you use rabbits as an example? Luke, I mean, you chose something I know nothing about.
To really explain the point, right? I could do a bunch of experiments on rabbits' eyes, and then be like, huge study on rabbits finds no evidence that rabbits like grass.
Yeah,
because I wasn't looking at whether they ate grass or noting down whether they liked grass. I was looking at their eyes.
And yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
That was it. So there were insufficient data to meta-analyze studies of ADHD, bipolar disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and tobacco use disorder. And there was an absence of randomized control evidence for the treatment of depression. So an absence of evidence is not evidence of absence,
mm-hmm.
right? By which I mean not being able to find any data on or trials on this does not mean you can make the statement that there's that it doesn't help depression. And that, again, it doesn't mean the opposite. It doesn't mean that you can say, well, it does help depression. It just means that you've not got any data on that, so we can't make a claim one way or the other. And I think it's misleading to have a headline that says finds no evidence that it helps, because that is literally true. They did not find any evidence that it helped, but that's because they didn't find any randomized control trials on it.
That's,
you know, they didn't
so
find control trials that showed no evidence of it helping. They didn't find enough evidence of anything.
Who wrote this headline?
It was Science Daily, so it's
insane.
No, so it's
Science Daily.
Well, Science Daily. It's a confusing one, because it Lions is kind of
Daily,
laid
like.
Out. It is kind of laid out as though it's as kind of science paper, right? So it is laid out in an almost legit way. It's sourced and stuff as well. It is loaded with ads too. You can cite the page and everything, but it does kind of hit that sort of pop science
right.
slop.
Like Psychology
as well.
Today.
Yeah.
Which has some perfectly good reporting, but also a lot of slop.
Exactly. And that's what's really difficult for me, trying to figure out, okay, can we trust this or not? And this study is not, I'm not saying that it's bad at all, but this autism thing, I'm always kind of conscious when stuff like that comes up, because when it comes to autism, it's always a reduction in symptoms, which doesn't feel like a very autism forward way of dealing with things. It's just getting autistic people to not seem autistic.
It's very pathologizing as well.
Yeah.
Because there are some parts of autism that are disabling, but there are also parts of autism that are just different.
It's annoying.
Actually a really interesting study I'll talk about in the Patreon about this that I read, I can't remember where I got it from, actually, to be fair, but it's really interesting. It's about autism, about that treatment of how we treat and talk about autistic people, and how aspects of autism might be something other than just purely disabilities or purely not picking up on things or whatever. Not that autism isn't sometimes / often disabling, but sometimes it's also just incompatibility between people.
Annoying, yeah.
Okay.
No, but for real, a lot of stuff with autistic people is just getting autistic people to be less annoying to people who aren't autistic.
Exactly.
I was talking to someone the other day who was like, yeah, I went through intense speech and language therapy because I was diagnosed with autism at 3. They literally taught me about jokes. He had to memorize and learn joke structure. And I'm like, that's so funny, because so much of humor... yes, that'll get you by small talk day to day and stuff. But so much of humor is not just structure. Do you know what I mean?
The reminder of when I asked you, is there a book about jokes?
That's funny, because I brought that up to him. I said, yeah, my friend was like, hey, Corey, do you know any good books about comedy and how to write jokes and comedy jokes? And I was like, buddy, I think you just got to get the funny. You know, you just gotta feel the funny.
I know, and I'm capable of doing that. I just wanted to. I wanted to.
I am capable.
I can do it. I promise. I just wanted to have I wondered if there because there's underlying structure to things, right? And so I was curious about well, I don't want to do all the work trying to decode all these structures. Someone must have done it and written it down. I'll go find that. That's what I was writing at the time, and I was like, well, if I'm stuck in a scene, it's sometimes helpful to have a list of things to refer to go oh, would this reinvigorate the scene? Would this reinvigorate the scene? Can I do this kind of reversal? That kind of stuff. But I understand it came across
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Because there is structure, right? As even with, like, say, like, with anything, even with, like, say, improv, right? Improv, which on the face of it seems to be all about sort of, like, oh, just do anything. Yeah. No, it's, like, there's a game, finding the game, and you're kind of, like, playing that game together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of structure in things, even where there seems that there isn't structure. But comedy in and of itself is something that is so broad that, like, it'd be hard to encapsulate. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of it is about breaking expectations. So you can build a joke that is all about... So people say, oh, comedy is about surprise. But I've seen an amazing stand-up set where someone just makes essentially the same joke over and over again.
Oh my God, is it the one where, like, the guy says the set's going to be really good? And
no
then keeps
idea.
On saying this is going to be really good when I get started. And he does that whole thing for like his whole 5-minute slot and then just leaves.
That's one. Maybe. Yeah, sure. But like, there are ones where like, and like, that's one where there's anticipation, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think that, like, you know, you've got jokes that are, that give you something unexpected, right? That's a classic joke. Give someone something unexpected, or say something in an unexpected way, or break the pattern and it'll be surprising. But there's also a lot of humor to be found in doing exactly what someone knows you're going to do and say, because you've done and said it like 7 times already. But what's really funny is that anticipation. And so when people say comedy is about surprise, I disagree. I think it's about tension and release.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
that's if you want to break it down to its simplest aspect, tension and release. That's why horror can be so close to comedy, because that's all about tension and release.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of good comedians make excellent horror directors, because they're very good at handling those aspects. But Luke, I think it's time for an ad. Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I knew you'd be back, you old bastard.
And you know what he's back for, Luke, or she, you never know. Mm. In fact, she, because here's what's going on, Luke. The ad bell is transitioning its gender.
Into?
Doesn't matter, none of your business. But what is your business, and what is our business, Luke, is raising the money for the ad bell to go through all of the many, many medical procedures it wants to go through to be its true self.
Yes. And, you know, those are expensive. And it's even more expensive when you're trying to do the surgery on a bell.
You have no idea how little support or funding there is for bell health.
We're having to invent an entirely new science just to help this poor bell transition. And, you know, if that doesn't pull on your heartstrings, I don't know what will. So you should, if it has pulled on those little heartstrings, if you have any, you heartless bitch. a lot of beefing for you to do in this one, Corey. Then please head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/sideguys, where we do bonus episodes, which are significantly more unhinged than the main show often, which is surprising considering how unhinged the show gets.
The most hinge that they get is about on par with the ads. So the ads are more unhinged. This right now is more unhinged than the normal show.
Yes.
The Patreon stuff, this is our baseline.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So if you like being about as hinged as a bell transitioning into a different but unspecified gender, you'll love the Patreon. So go over there, give us a little bit of money to keep us being fed and watered like a happy little plant. And we'll see you there. And if we don't see you there, then you're lost, mate. Catch on.
We probably won't see them there because it is a one-way communication sort of system, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's the cameras only go the one way.
But that's what we're getting the money for, to next, after the bell transition, fund the telepathic cameras we're going to invent.
Cameras transition into different cameras.
Into magic cameras. Yes.
But they're already black magic cameras, Luke.
Yes. Yeah, well, we've got to get some of that magic out. We've got to get the voodoo. We've got to get the voodoo out. And that'll take time and money, so you better get to the Patreon. Goodness me. What happened? Back to the show.
This is off the rails, man. Let's get back. Okay, look, so this study, they were looking at a bunch of different things. I've already said there was a reduction in autistic traits, which made me think, oh, okay, right. I mean, sure, I've known autistic people to be high, but also when you get an autistic person drunk, they're less autistic, you know?
If you inebriate them with anything, they're less everything.
Yeah, you just put, I don't know, it's a great cheat code, though, you know? Actually, this is the thing, I've known autistic people to be like, I need to be careful about how much I drink, because, like, they'll drink a little bit, and they're like, I can be social! Cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, now I have a drinking problem. What?
Yeah. That hit home too hard for me. Oh no.
I was talking about friends of mine, Luke, so you're very safe.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I will say this, which, though,
we're
Luke,
lovers.
Cannabinoids.
That's a really funny word. Cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids led to an increase in cocaine craving amongst those with cocaine use disorder compared with placebo.
Probably just Pavlov's dog, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
what they start with the weed and then they just get onto the cocaine at the parties.
So here's what I think, right? If you give someone who likes uppers a downer, they're going to want their upper to get back to normal. And then when they're normal, they're like, I want my upper again.
So true, King.
Thank you for adding. Do you have anything else to say?
No, drugs are bad.
I'd love to see you in an improv class. You know, yes, and it's for Luke. You're just yes.
Yes.
My God.
A live demonstration.
That didn't even seem intentional. But that'd be a funny bit. But I'm improv, sitting here, man, looking in your eyes, acting. And I saw the surprise on your face.
You'll never know. You'll never know. Am I a genius or am I an idiot?
Goodness me. So there were no significant effects or outcomes associated with, as I said, anxiety, anorexia, nervosa, psychotic disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and opioid use disorder.
No significant.
No significant effects on outcomes associated with those, which is nuts, because you'd think if you get someone with anorexia so stoned they get the munchies.
I was gonna make that joke, and I didn't like it when I said it in my head. And I still don't like it when
Luke,
it's out loud.
Look, here's the thing. You got to ignore that little voice inside of you that says, don't say that. What you got to do is honestly just kill it. I think I drowned mine when I was very, very, very young. I don't even remember what it sounds like.
I don't think that sounds like a good idea. Some of these thoughts are not healthy.
Got us this far, didn't it? Huh? And by us, I mean me. It got me this far. Maybe I could have gotten farther if I had a voice in my head saying, don't say that. But unfortunately, Luke, no. No.
It's just going again now. It's just going, stop talking.
Perfect sort of impulse for a man who...
Podcasts. Yeah. No, it's not good.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a stand-up with stage fright.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a director, but I don't like confrontation. Oh, sorry.
That's rude.
No, I didn't even mean that one.
Yeah.
You're catching strays.
Oh, no. So, yeah, okay. The anorexia joke. I don't know.
For real, it's actually really interesting. But even with like a sort of primal desire to eat caused by marijuana, that it doesn't seem to have any influence on anorexia. But then that does make some semblance of sense if you actually look into anorexia and understand that it's more than just like, you know, like, put it this way. People who are anorexic are not anorexic because they don't feel hungry.
Yeah. And I guess what, like, not to like lower the tone or like whatever. It's a fun joke. Ha ha ha.
We
understand anorexia to the extent that two people with anorexia can understand it. But I guess my point is that like anorexia, like not eating is a symptom of anorexia. Mm-hmm. So the even if the weed made you hungry, it didn't do anything for your even made you eat because you were hungry, didn't do anything to your anorexia. It might have just made you eat. Anorexic people do eat. They just then might have methods of then reversing the eating, or like then not eating later on, or like whatever. So like, I guess that would be my bar for like whether it's actually doing anything for the anorexia.
Yeah, but like good binging joke, and gorging. Yeah. Binging and gorging is not going to be, it's actually, if anything, it'd be probably worse, yeah, right? But I think, I'd assume it's not just give them the munchies so they eat. It's probably more using it to, usually when you find weed being used in these sorts of things, it's to manage things like anxiety. Uh-huh. And I think it mentioned somewhere in the paper that the best outcomes for all of these things come when it's also, there's also therapy led. Mm-hmm. And everything. It's the same as when we talk about the psychedelics, right? You don't want to just give someone LSD and be like, cool, there you go, there's some LSD, go and sort your brain out. Now, you want to have someone there that's like, and how does that make you feel?
Yeah, who would do that?
What? Who would ask how you feel? <Don't worry. laughs> No. What? Look, I'm so confused. Perhaps you could clarify.
No, I will not.
I love how sweet you were thinking that I didn't get the joke.
Okay, right, fine. Okay, yeah. Oopsie.
No. I understood. I just want you to squirm.
Well, achieved.
but insufficient data to meta-analyze studies of ADHD, bipolar disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and tobacco use disorder. And I think it's really interesting, right, though, that there's such bold claims are being made, but actually it seems that there is some effect of cannabinoids being helpful for a bunch of things that we listed, like insomnia, autism.
What's so funny about autism, Corey?
Just getting an autistic person stoned so that they're less autistic.
Hey, you don't even slightly care about trains anymore.
Oh, you have ARFID, do you, huh? Oh yeah, take a suddenly those Cheetos, that dust on your fingers is not gonna feel as bad as good as it tastes. I said that very good, Luke. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you for the praise.
Interestingly, like, side point here is that there's been some evidence recently that Wegovy, like the stuff for weight loss, is potentially good for cravings, for addictions. I think it's only, the only thing I read about was it potentially being helpful for people who were taking it for weight management, but also drank a lot. They also had either like they fully were alcoholics, or they just drank more than they wanted to. And it went down from like 17 nights a week to 17 nights a month.
17 nights a week.
I know, they were really going for it. No,
Jesus
17.
Christ, look, when I was at my worst, I wasn't even able to, I could maybe push to 10 nights a week. You could get 2 nights in a day because the morning is...
Yeah. Okay, no, so it's like 17 nights a month, like 5 nights a month, because I think the idea is that it might interrupt addiction circuits in the brain, as well as having the weight loss impact.
That makes sense. I'd be interested to see how it affects something like smoking, because obviously alcohol consumption is still caloric intake, so it might, it might be down that route, but it's really interesting. It'd be really interesting to see if it is addiction centers, or if it's more, I just don't need to consume.
Well, maybe everyone should take that, because what the hell is this hellscape we're living in?
Yeah, let's take the drug that gets you off your phone. Here's a drug that makes you not addicted to your phones that we've made addictive. Okay.
I meant consumption, but like consumer society, whatever.
No, I get you. So basically, this was a meta-analysis. As we said, it looked into a bunch of different things. I could get into the weeds about how they sort of did all of their analysis, but we've kind of gone over it, right? They're saying that there's not a lot of data for certain things. For some, it seemed that there wasn't any sort of significant effect. But that doesn't mean there's any negative. There's strictly a negative effect. Cocaine use, obviously, it doesn't help with. But those other ones, it does seem to help with. And it's interesting to me how this is being framed, because you know, there's a quote here from the lead author. Though our paper didn't specifically look at this, the routine use of medicinal cannabis could be doing more harm than good by worsening mental health outcomes. For example, a greater risk of psychotic symptoms and developing cannabis use disorder, and delaying the use of more effective treatments. This is difficult, because this whole area is filled with bias, right? And obviously I lean towards legalization. I've said already, you know, if I'm in the US, I like an edible. If I lived in the US, I'd probably be using edibles relatively often. Do you know what I mean? Like, in an evening, like, sort of pop one or two before bed, just to quiet the brain. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that's really helpful when I'm away in the US and working. Or maybe I don't, because maybe this is all just a joke, because I don't remember if it's actually strictly technically legal for me to do it, or if it breaks the visa. And if it does, then I haven't done it, and this is all a joke.
Your Honor,
if it's fine, then I did do it.
That perfectly stands up.
But no, I think...
Case dismissed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Bonnie Witherspoon.
Who's Bonnie Witherspoon? A daughter of Reese, perhaps? I think it can be helpful, anecdotally, and obviously people can get addicted. It can get addicted and whatnot. And I think there should be regulation, but I think fear mongering around weeds is not necessarily helpful. But then also, like, sort of holding it up as a sort of panacea is equally problematic, right? Because people can get addicted to weed, because people can get addicted to anything. But the situation that we have right now, where it is strictly illegal in the UK, I don't think is remotely helpful to any of this, because then you just get stronger weed on the streets. You can't have, say, edibles that are controlled in their doses and whatnot. And it can only really be had in ways that are, you can't have THC drinks, for example, right? So it can only be had in ways that are kind of harmful to your lungs. I will say one more thing. They also add, meta-analysis revealed higher odds of all-cause adverse events among those using cannabis versus control group, but no higher odds of serious adverse events or study withdrawal. So, there's maybe a, there's, I think it's a slight increase, if, maybe based on what I'm looking at. I can't quite remember. But there are higher odds of adverse events using weed. But obviously, there are risks that are going to come with marijuana, right? It's a mind-altering drug.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be risks. But that doesn't necessarily mean that those risks aren't worth it for some individuals, depending on how it's used, etc. But at least for, you know, insomnia, and autism, Tourette's, and even cannabis addiction, it seems to be somewhat useful, right?
And the thing is, as well, is like, we're talking about evidence here, right? We're talking about whether there's evidence for something, and we have other evidence. When we're talking about legalization, we have evidence where countries have legalized it. And they haven't turned into massive pits of stoners, and they have maintained. The Netherlands is still a perfectly viable country. I don't know the crime statistics. I don't know the statistics on alcoholism. I don't know the statistics. But we don't hear like, oh, the Netherlands has absolutely gone downhill since they legalized marijuana, right? And so, like, my point is like, we have evidence that we have people claim that there are benefits to them. We have evidence that, like, legalizing it doesn't mean everyone becomes a stoner, and the people who want to smoke weed or take weed in some way have safer weed, and that's also going to be good for them. And it also kind of becomes boring. I've met loads of people from the Netherlands who are like, yeah, it's just boring in the Netherlands because it's legal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we have an alcohol problem. We do have legal things that are really bad in this country, and they're legal.
Here's what I'd say, right, is that I think I'd wager that the most common crime committed by, and this is going to sound silly, but let me finish it. The most common crime committed by people who use weed
is smoking weed.
Yeah, is smoking weed. and even outside of that, I don't think there's necessarily going to be a huge, like, there's going to be a huge inclination towards other crimes unless you're also dealing with other illegal drugs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like heroin where it's going to really, like, you so desperately need the hit, you're going to, like, go and rob a bank, or rob a store or something.
Or even, like, just being on it, the behavior, right? Like, because if you're on cocaine, you're more likely to be reckless and do sort of reckless things. You might be more likely to commit a crime.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on amphetamines, like, or, you know, like, say, crystal meth, or, like, anything like that. Even if you're drinking alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. You're probably more likely to commit a crime. I feel like if weed were legalized, this isn't even about legalization, this is about, like, therapeutic medicinal use, mm-hmm. right? If it was more available in those ways, then people could use it to help themselves if it actually helped them, right? Like, you know, meditation works for some people, doesn't work for others. There's not really any risk with meditation like there is with weed. But do you know what I mean? So, like, if someone doesn't sleep very well and marijuana was, like, legalized, you wouldn't need to go through your doctor to get medicinal stuff. You could just go down to the shop and be like, okay, I'm gonna pop a gummy before I go to bed, and I'll sleep better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's also the fact that there is evidence that it helps other sort of, just, it's good for pain, it can mm-hmm. help, you said multiple sclerosis earlier, right? So if we're trying to focus on mental health disorders, yeah, that might not be the thing. But with the UK, you can't get you can't get it for anxiety or for sleep, I think, unless you've tried two other medicines, two other drugs that haven't worked.
Yeah, which feels like a pretty reasonable bar.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah.
There obviously is the criticism in the UK, has been fairly recently, that there's, like, sort of pseudo doctors type places setting up that are basically getting a medical license and then just kind of giving you weed for anything. And that kind of stuff will happen.
And legalize it. That's the solution.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that doesn't automatically follow. But, like, I think in the round, when you look at the evidence of, like, does it absolutely destabilize your country, like, and your society? No, it doesn't seem to. Can you regulate the weed so that it's not the most dangerous types of weed that people are smoking, like skunk? Yes, you can. Can you tax it? Yes. Does it have some benefits, we think, pretty proven for certain things? Yes, it does. Like, do we have massive levels of alcoholism in this country and that's perfectly legal? Yes, that is also true. Like, in the round of all those things, I'm not saying weed is perfectly safe and everyone, like, no one's going to have problems, but in the round, the attitude we have to things that do have problems and have legal, and then the attitude we have to this thing that doesn't seem to have some of those problems, feels like we're being a little inconsistent.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why I'm wary about studies like this. You know, I'm trying to see, is there a bias here? And it is interesting, right? It is very interesting. I think more studies are needed. And like that's what this says as well, I'm pretty sure. But I would be cautious. I'd caution people to not take the headlines that they may have seen about this as meaning there is strict evidence that the THC, that cannabinoids are not helpful for any mental health disorder. Even the depression one really bothered me because, again, it's just, they say there's an absence of evidence for the treatment of, the randomized control evidence for the treatment of depression. So, again, it's just an absence of evidence. And this headline says they find no evidence of it.
It's very frustrating. And also especially frustrating because it's not untrue.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
That most people are going to read that way. And you know it.
And
you
I think
do know that.
That's what puts me to the point of being like, okay, a lot of this seems to be coalescing around sort of an anti-marijuana stance, mm-hmm. which is fine, but there's not evidence, there's not a lot of evidence of harm or a lot of evidence of, or even like evidence of it not being helpful.
Yes.
There's just, in some cases, a lack of evidence. In fact, in many cases, a lack of evidence, right?
If we had a major political party campaigning saying that there was evidence that weed fixes depression or helps depression, then it would be news that there was a study that didn't find that
Absolutely.
To be true. Even though it just didn't find anything, it still would be news that there was an absence of evidence. But when there's no serious, powerful body calling for, like there's no one high up in power with the ability to change things, like really seriously going, I'm going to make it my thing to legalize, at least like make medical marijuana more liberally available. No one is serious. Everyone in serious power is actually either ignoring that or actively saying that they're going to not do that and saying that there's a problem, right? So it's not news to find that there's not evidence of something. It's only news to find there is or there's no evidence if somebody is seriously saying, let's actually legalize it, who has the ability to legalize it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it is what you've got to think about how many studies there are. If there's like, if you've looked at 100 studies, but they disregarded a lot, including like observational ones, because they said, although they could shed some light on the efficacy of cannabinoids as treatment for these conditions, potential biases are more likely to arise in these study designs, and they cannot establish a causal relationship, right? So they've gotten rid of a lot of things. If you had like 1,000 studies of depression and being treated with weed, for example, right? Which is not the case. They couldn't find, there was an absence of evidence mm-hmm. of randomized control trials for the treatment of depression, is what I've read, right? If you had like 100 or 1,000 studies and there was no evidence of it having any positive impact, then you could probably make, you could pretty comfortably probably make the statement that there doesn't seem to be any positive impact of using cannabis to treat depression, right? Mm-hmm. However, if you've only looked at, if you couldn't find enough studies, right? So you don't have 1,000, you can barely scrape together 3. And they say, yeah, like, oh, well, we couldn't find any evidence of it. That's a very different story. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Very, very different story. And I think that's just something to be aware of with this. They do list off their limitations, you know. They focused on the longest follow-up outcomes, whereas some studies might have observed varying effects at multiple time points. They also mentioned that they were, when they broke it down by subgroup of cannabinoid as well, and that would have been limited by the sample sizes as well. There might have been gender or sex differences in the efficacy and safety of cannabinoids, but that analysis wasn't provided by most studies. Most of the stuff we've kind of gone over already. Basically, they're saying that there's weak evidence that they're beneficial compared to placebo in most conditions, based on the studies that they've looked at, treating mental health disorders and substance use disorders with cannabis. And there's some evidence that supported the use of cannabinoids, particularly mixed cannabidiol and THC, in the relief of symptoms related to cannabis use disorder, insomnia, Tourette's, autism, but the quality of evidence was low. Basically, they're saying they need more randomized control trials and more representative samples. And they're saying that it's concerning that the use of these treatments could delay or replace the use of more effective therapies. Overall, given the scarcity of evidence for efficacy and greater risk of all-cause adverse outcomes, the routine use of these medicines for mental disorders and SUDs, substance use disorders, is rarely justified.
Okay. But the main conclusion is more research is needed.
More research is needed, yeah. I mean, at least in my experience, it doesn't seem that a lot of people... I mean, talking about the US, Canada, and Australia, that a lot of people are using... 27% of the estimated population of 16 to 25 years in the USA and Canada report ever having used cannabis for medical purposes. That's misleading, though, because doesn't mean mental health things. It could be for chemo, like while you're going through chemo. It could be for pain. It could be for any kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Where it does have evidence.
Exactly.
This is concerning because lots of people say they do this. For the thing you're talking about? Not necessarily. For some other things, maybe. Lots of other things.
Exactly, which is kind of the worry, right? And yeah, I'm not saying that we should be giving out weed for the treatment of depression, because I don't think that giving someone a sort of prescription for weed is going to help depression necessarily. But, you know, there's... If in a therapy-led environment, I think it's worth looking into it, right? Mm. At the very least. But yeah... You know you if well, no, you don't know you. But what I mean is that if you're somewhere where it's legal and you're sort of self-medicating and it's helping you with your insomnia, for example, or something, and it's not having any adverse effects, then great. Awesome. But it is also a drug and it can be addictive. So there is a balance to that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that is the really important thing as well, is like there are side effects. That's kind of their point, isn't it? We didn't find evidence that it helped. And we all know there are side effects of weed. Like, there are downsides to it, potentially, at least, for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything else you want to say, Luke, before we go?
Well,
Luke, it's too late. That is all from us. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons. Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe to new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCore everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cupworth everywhere.
And you can follow us both to the Patreon.
Off
goodbye.
Up we go.
Good hype.